From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea, and she's back. Hillary Clinton will be put into nomination at the Democratic Convention this year. Plus, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice calls for all Russian troops to leave Georgia immediately. And a new census report says that whites in the U.S. will be a minority by the year 2042. For more on these and other stories, we have Clarence Page, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and David Ellison, a reporter and columnist for the Houston Chronicle. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So the Democratic Party news has generally been all Barack all the time, but Hillary Clinton's name will symbolically be put into nomination this month at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, which is coming right up. Clarence, what does that really mean?
It means you're going to have a night of hoopla for Hillary Clinton. And some folks say she's hijacking the convention. I think this is a mutually agreed upon arrangement, and I suspect it's going to be a very big night for her, but I doubt that we're going to see the vote for Hillary Clinton actually take the nomination away from Barack Obama. In fact, I suspect after her big night, along with her husband, we will be focusing on Obama's running mate and his big speech on Thursday.
How does this work in terms of delegates? How much latitude do delegates have once they get there?
Not very many people know. Delegates have all the latitude in the world. They can change their minds under party rules. It's just good etiquette to do so. But it has happened once or twice where you'll get a renegade delegate who changes his or her vote on the floor. But, you know, the kind of massive vote shift that would be required for Hillary Clinton to take the nomination isn't likely.
Now, David, when you think about this convention, which is, you know, some people have actually argued that reporters shouldn't even go to these conventions because there's really no news. It's just a bunch of speeches and people go to have the free shrimp and the champagne. Yeah, that's one argument. But nonetheless, do you think that this is going to bring the party closer together, the idea that Senator Clinton gets her moment in the sun?
Well, it's pretty much a roll of the dice for Obama's people who pretty much control the convention. But it will allow Hillary a chance to have her name screamed one more time, and then she can ask her supporters to support Obama, but on the downside, it's just another opportunity where news is focusing on someone else besides Obama.
Do you have any sense of how Houstonites are thinking about this? I mean, whether or not there's a mass of Senator Clinton supporters?
Well, I think it's pretty divided. I drive around. I live in the suburbs, which is basically a Republican area, and I see a lot of Obama signs of people of all race, creeds, and color supporting Obama with signed bumper stickers and everything like that. So it's hard for me to gauge exactly how it's going, but, you know, it seems like, you know, Houston, Harris County, which is, you know, Houston is the county seat, generally votes Republican, but the city of Houston is Democratic. So, you know, it depends on how strong Obama is and how he carries Texas.
Clarence, I guess it's not really a fair question for you, the whole local question, because Chicago is kind of the home stomping ground for Senator Obama. But
I say Obama's chances of losing Illinois are about as good as his winning Texas.
Well, you never know. But I guess
that's why you call me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm a Washington pundit, right?
Absolutely. But I guess what I'm thinking is, are there disgruntled? I mean, and I don't want to just use the word disgruntled, but are there people who passionately believe that Senator Clinton should be the nominee to the point where they would or will try to influence the convention?
I think you see the Clinton support among the party activists, and the polls show that Obama has not won over quite as high of a percentage of them as John McCain has won over Republicans who didn't vote for him in the primaries. But his challenge is pretty obvious, and how Hillary Clinton behaves will make a big difference here on instilling more confidence in her supporters as far as Obama's concerned. And if she appears to be divisive, it can backfire against her future prospects, like it backfired against Teddy Kennedy when he wouldn't shake Jimmy Carter's hand at the 1980 convention. So I think that you're going to see more and more movement toward Obama.
David, again, to go back to Houston, do you get a sense that people are interested in the conventions, whether or not it's for substantive reasons or for pageantry? Because a lot of people who are in the reporting business, particularly the political side of it, get really excited about this, but not everybody does. Some people just see this as, I'm not going to watch it. I'll find out the really important news. My friend will tell me. Do you get the sense of whether or not some of the people in your area are really interested in this whole convention season, which is really 10 days away, less than 10 days away?
Well, with Obama being a black man, I think there is a lot of interest in this convention here in Houston. It's just like he excited the campaign in nationwide as well as around the world, from his not campaigning, but from his trip to Europe. So there is a lot of interest in the campaign, in the convention this year, and you will probably find a lot of people watching to see what goes on, the nomination process, as well as his speech.
Clarence, I'm going to move on to another topic. It's a big one internationally. So Russia and the former Soviet state of Georgia have been literally fighting it out this week. We're talking about bombs, missiles, not diplomatic arguments. Russia gave the U.S. an ultimatum: be allies to Georgia or Russia, us or them, not both. And President Bush dispatched Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to the region to show support for Georgia. Here's what she said during a speech in Georgia.
This calls into question what role Russia really intends to play in international politics, because one thing is certain, you can't on the one hand participate in and be a responsible member of institutions that are democratic and that underscore democratic values, and on the other hand act in this way toward one of your neighbors.
Clarence, what's going on between the U.S. and Russia in terms of what our relationship is? I mean, there was, the post-Soviet closeness for a while, but what's going on now?
Well, Vladimir Putin, who really appears to be the real mover and shaker there, despite Medvedev having the title now that Putin used to have, has designs on getting the satellite states, the former satellites, and actual members of the Soviet Union to knuckle under, to realize that, hey, Russia is still a player. You've still got to listen to us. He cares about Georgia a lot, which has always been kind of an interesting semi-renegade state over the years. It has the one pipeline, one oil pipeline to the ocean or to the Caspian Sea that's not controlled by Russia, which makes it important in oil politics. And at the same time, though, Putin wants Russia to get the Olympics, and they don't want Georgia to join NATO. There's a lot of leverage that the U.S. still has here. I think that's what Condi Rice is signaling in that statement that you just played.
David, when you think about the fact that, with the Olympics, U.S. Politics have also focused internationally on China and China's human rights record, do you think that this conflict between Russia and Georgia is really registering not only with the government, but in people's imagination, in the minds of people who are listening to the news and watching the news?
Okay, as far as the Olympics are concerned?
Well, I'm just saying that we have talked a lot in this country recently about U.S.-China relations. Now we have U.S.-Russia back on the table. Do you think people are paying attention to that?
Oh, yes. It's very big in the news. In fact, there was the people are trying to pay attention to this because we have the political races coming up, and that's going to be a big item on everybody's agenda at the convention, trying to bring about some type of peace in this area as far as the fighting is concerned. So, yes, it will be a big topic, and everybody's paying attention. It's a big news item. But it's having ramifications throughout, even in the sports world. I just picked up an AP Wire story that couple of politicians out of Washington are asking the International Olympic Committee to punish Russia by moving the 2014 Games Winter Olympics out of Russia. So it has big implications.
Clarence, we're going to go to a break in a second, but before we do, Condoleezza Rice is in the sunset of her term, as are all political appointees by the Bush administration. Do you think this is a moment where she can shine, or a moment where, you know, it could be a bit complicated for her?
Well, she was a Russia specialist back in those days when we still had a Soviet Union. I think this is one of those cases now where with Rumsfeld out of the way and Dick Cheney not appearing to cause her any obstruction as far as we can tell, this is a time for her to really make her mark. I'm wondering why she hasn't gone to Moscow yet, though, because I think that's what's really going to be important.
All right. Well, Clarence and David, we are going to come back with more news, continue our discussion about Georgia, and also move on to more of the week's news. So stay with us. And just ahead, we've got more of the Reporters Roundtable and a look at the connection between faith and recovery. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We are back with Clarence Page, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and David Ellison, a reporter and columnist for the Houston Chronicle. This is the Reporters Roundtable. I'm going to jump back in. So, David, I'm going to toss you the same question that I tossed to Clarence, which is, do you think this is a moment where, you know, Secretary Rice could shine?
Yes, indeed it is, especially since she's going out of office. But there has been a lot of questions as to what took her so long, and even bloggers are asking that question, what took her so long to go to the region? And so, yes, now is time. And there has been a ceasefire agreement reached today. I mean, I don't know exactly what all that means, but how big a role she plays in that as far as getting peace to that region will really mean a lot for her career and where she goes from here after she leaves Washington.
All right. I'm going to stay with you, David, for yet another topic. This one is something that people have talked for a long time about, whether or not there is a specific date when the U.S. will become minority white, when white people will cease to be the majority of Americans, which they have been ever since America was founded. So a new U.S. Census forecast says that year is going to be 2042. That's 8 years earlier than previous estimates made in 2004. So, David, Houston is this incredibly diverse part of the country. You've got Latinos, blacks, whites, et cetera. How do you think people process ethnicity in a city like Houston?
Well, Houston, like you say, the diversity, ethnicity is a very key factor, but Houston, unlike a lot of other major cities, it's mixed. Everybody lives pretty much in different areas. You don't have a Hispanic part of town, Asian part of town, et cetera. So ethnicity is something where everybody has to get along with people, at least on the surface of it. But with the Hispanic population here in Houston and Texas is growing by leaps and bounds, as well as the black population, this new trend or this new projection is nothing new in Houston. It has been around. I mean, we are pretty much the minority here in Texas now. It's all a matter of, you know, what type of political clout and financial clout we can gain as the majority rolls around.
Clarence, why is this so important? Why are we so focused on this issue of when the country flips? Because it's not as if, you know, all of a sudden white people are going to be out like it's fashion or something like that. Why are we really focusing on this?
Well, there are several reasons, some of them political, some of them matters of perception, which is 90% of politics itself. We have certain perceptions of what an American is. The actual definition is very elusive, but people think of America as a white majority country. So when you tell them that it's not going to be white majority after a certain point, that can raise some eyebrows. But in fact, Let's take California as an example. California has not been white majority since the late 90s, and who can tell the difference? You know, everybody lives basically in their community. People gravitate to certain communities according to their income and their taste, background, culture, ethnicity, a variety of reasons. And Americans, over the years, we've been a melting pot country, to use that old metaphor. I prefer the salad bowl or the mulligan stew, because we do.
Gumbo is another thing people say.
Gumbo,
it's always
another beautiful
food,
one. Yeah,
food
well, and
metaphor.
Stir fry. You know? In other words, different groups keep their identity, but at the same time, they contribute to the whole. They take flavor from the whole. So it's really a matter of perception. You know, are you comfortable with the idea of America not being a white majority country? The fact is, I think Americans have become, on the whole, remarkably comfortable with our mulligan stew over the last 20, 30 years.
David, we just did a segment on our show earlier this week about how David Duke, who is a former Klan leader and turned politician but still talks out about white supremacist issues, basically said it will be good for the white supremacy movement if Barack Obama is elected. So there's a question that we raised of whether or not people are really not just comfortable with the idea of blackness and power, but whether or not people think that this could incite, for example, race riots. What do you think? I mean, do you think that there's going to be conflict as we make this transition into a, quote, minority majority country?
No, I don't think there would be any conflicts any more so than we already have, which are pretty much a reaction to something, you know, like the, you know, a case verdict or something like that. As far as Rodney King, that's when you usually have race riots now today in America. But everything is pretty much is going to go pretty much as normal. But the difference being is, well, not the difference. The way things are working now, we could be the majority, but we will not control a lot of the financial wealth in this country, and that's what's going to, you know, keep it as the status quo, as the way America operates, who controls the money, not the political clout and not the numbers in this country. So I don't think as far as David Dukes and those type of people rising up with the majority, and I don't think they're going to do that. They're not. They're very cowardly people. They like to prey on people who are vulnerable and of lesser numbers. And when we're the majority, I don't think they're going to show their faces to hit us head on.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Gentlemen, great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Clarence Page, a nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and David Ellison, a reporter and columnist for the Houston Chronicle.